joining us on the line from Los Angeles is a man who needs no introduction here on World Football Daily. Very good friend of ours and a man who we always enjoy having on the show. Mr. Mark Serber's on the line joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all about the International Champions Cup taking place out in America. Mark, how are you doing, mate? How was your weekend? There's plenty of football to get into. Were you able to catch much of it?
Yeah, it was. It was a great weekend of football. Definitely some surprises. You know, of course, don't think anybody expected the LA Galaxy to do what they did to Juventus. And also don't think many people were expecting to see Inter Milan play as poorly as they did. And also I thought Chelsea AC Milan was a really good game to dissect. I think really interesting to see the embarrassment of riches that Chelsea has in their midfield.
It was something that Rafa Benitez touched upon in down at the Emirates Cup this weekend. He highlighted Inter as still being one of those sides that could potentially cause problems in Serie A and be in that Champions League title race. But after what you've seen especially against Valencia, I mean, you've got to be thinking that this is still an Inter side that's going to continue its struggles from the back end of last season.
I think so. I mean, the thing is, obviously, as we all know, is this is preseason. I mean, Barcelona lost to Chivas a year or two ago, and everybody was joking, oh, you know, it's all over for them, obviously, go on and win the league. So you just never know what's going to happen. But they looked toothless. They didn't look like they had really any ideas going forward, and they just looked very disjointed in it. It was actually, you know, kind of scary and embarrassing to watch. You also have their sixth coach since Mourinho left in 2010. Kind of had the same thing at Chelsea, though, so I jokingly tweeted, you know, is that the Mourinho effect or is that the crazy owner effect? Because after Mourinho, you never know whether they're ever going to be satisfied, whether it's Abramovich or Moratti. But at the same time, it's just, you know, no continuity. I think a lot of the players in there, such as Cambiasso, is a legend and still getting it done, but he's getting it older, and it just doesn't seem that the players that they've bought in are really getting the job done. And it just doesn't seem like this close to the season that they look like a top four team in Italy at the moment.
You mentioned Cambiasso there, and that midfield's had a number of changes over the last few years. I mean, including losing Wesley Schneider, almost forced out of the club, if you will. But Cambiasso stayed there through thick and thin. Do you get the feeling that Inter are going to be leaning on him a lot this season to be that midfield general for them, to keep these tender strings kind of all together and untwined in this Inter midfield?
I think so. I think he's definitely, like you said, midfield general is going to be the engine room. But at the same time, you know, in July, he's now entered into his 10th year with the club. And how much can you ask of him? At the same time, obviously, his longevity is showed. But if he gets injured or something goes wrong, then are the wheels going to come off, especially in that midfield? And where's that creativity going to come from as well?
Well, I'll ask you that then, Mark. Where do you think there's any possible creativity going to come from in this Inter side? Who else can step up? I mean, you look at the players around Cambiasso, the majority of them 25 and under in the Inter squad at the moment in that midfield.
And that's not always a bad thing. Is the fact of the matter is that maybe it might just take a little bit for Inter Milan to find that creativity, to find those kind of players. But it just seems like they haven't really cut it yet. I mean, you look at the players like Ricky hasn't really gotten the job done yet. And it might just take some time for those players to find it. But it just, you know, you take a look at their roster and you don't look at anybody who screams classic number 10 or screams all around midfielder or who looks like a Juan Mata or those kind of players. And so it seems a bit short of that creativity at the moment. I mean, when you think about Inter Milan at the moment, you still think Christian Kivu, well, he's pretty old. You still think about Walter Samuel. Well, I mean, how long has he been at the club? But you think about these younger players, and if you haven't followed Inter year in and year out, like you said, most of them under 25 are going to say, who are these guys? And so it's up to them to prove themselves.
And for Inter as well, you mentioned all the old players in that side. They haven't been able to attract a big kind of a big signing. Obviously, they're looking to reduce the wage budget and, of course, restrict the transfer spending because of the financial fair play rules that are going to be coming into effect. But for Inter, do you get that feeling that that's almost created maybe a dampened mood on the squad because the old guard are getting very old indeed? And there's really kind of a motivational problem within the side as well.
I think that there's definitely that, and like you said, with the financial fair play, but at the same time, you talk about the players being under 25, and it's one of those things where maybe a few lean years isn't really a bad thing, to the point where if these players can grow and get better and can make themselves into knowing quantities, then it's the kind of thing that we were looking for from the likes of Chelsea that obviously never happened because Abramovich wouldn't let it happen, where Villas Boas came in and tried to implement a style that would take a few years, that perhaps Brendan Rodgers, who I think can speed it up and make it happen a bit quicker at Liverpool, but perhaps, you know, a few lean years here might mean more success down the line for Inter Milan. So that's something that I think Inter fans, the most optimistic of Inter fans, are hoping is the case. But like you said, had to get rid of players like Schneider and stuff like that to reduce their wage bill. And now it's up to these younger players to come through. And I think across town, we saw at AC Milan, when it looked like everything was doom and gloom for them, their younger players like El Shaarawy step up. And that's exactly what Inter need to happen. But like we said, you know, everything's preseason, everything's conjecture, and who knows what's going to happen the first day of the season. But right now, it definitely does look like they lack motivation and like they have heavy legs just playing in this tournament.
It's one thing to talk about Inter. We also need to talk about AC Milan on this show as well, mainly in part because I'm obviously a big fan of the Rossoneri, but also because they were in action in the ICC as well against Chelsea. You described earlier the Chelsea having an embarrassment of riches for Mourinho to play with. If this is the case then, Mark, why are they so desperately hunting down Wayne Rooney as well?
I think because, and this is a theory that I was playing around with yesterday, is if you took a look at the four players in midfield that I was looking at in particular, is the three attackers that were playing mostly last year behind the lone forward was Oscar, Mata, and Hazard. You take them, and then you throw in Frank Lampard, and they combined for 40 goals last year. Now, obviously, Manchester United winning the title, I think, had something around 86 goals, so you still need 46 more goals to come. But the bottom line is, when you look at those three men attacking just behind the forward, what you really need is a forward who's not only going to provide goals, but you need a forward who's going to provide assists, who's going to provide link-up play. And while I think Torres, he only had 6 assists last year. You take a look at Ba, he only had, I don't think he had an assist. He might have had one. These are all stats in the Barclays Premier League alone. But the bottom line is that if you have those three attacking midfielders who are capable of scoring so many goals, then you not only need a striker who can put them away themselves, but you also need a player who can link up with them. And I think Rooney's ideal for that. And I think that's one of the reasons that he wants Wayne Rooney so bad, is Wayne Rooney's not only willing to play as that striker and to be happy playing in that role that he's had taken away from him at Manchester United, but as much as he says he's not happy at Manchester United, he'll still come all the way back and do all the work. He'll come into the midfield and he'll combine, and that's exactly what they need for that three-man attack that's going to be propped up just right behind him. You can put in Victor Moses out wide, and that allows De Bruyne to go out wide as well. Then you can have the two creators in terms of Juan Mata and Hazard or Oscar playing just behind Wayne Rooney or coming up and linking up with him. And so therefore you have two midfield shapes that can play with Wayne Rooney as the point man, and either way he's going to thrive. And I think that's why Mourinho wants him so badly.
But have we not seen Torres start in the last year and a half, 2 years or so? Have we not seen him start to adapt his game and get better in this Chelsea system because he's learning to play that role? Do you not think that there is, especially with they've still got Romelu Lukaku, who obviously played a very good role and a very big role in the success that West Bromwich Albion had last season. Do you not think that adding another person like Rooney is just stockpiling maybe one too many for that one front man, low man role?
I think it is. At the same time, I think Torres has always gotten a bad rap at Chelsea. I mean, you take a look at what he's done and the goals he's scored, I think he's done an okay job. I think it's just that he's remembered more for the glaring misses than he is for what he's done. But I always think that he's always worked for the team and done a really good job. At times, I think, because of his lack of confidence in front of goal, that he almost overcompensated by working too hard by coming back into the midfield. But at the same time, I think you're absolutely right. You have the likes of Lukaku, you have Abba, you have Torres, I think, who are all players of capable of getting the job done. And so at the same time, that was my previous statement was my reasoning for why Mourinho would want Wayne Rooney. But at the same time, he does seem to have three attackers who are very good. Obviously, we saw what Lukaku did at West Brom Albion. But at the same time, I felt like Torres and Ba took a lot of flack last year from the media and the Chelsea fans. And perhaps Mourinho was believing the hype as well. But I mean, obviously, you know, you have that embarrassment of riches in the midfield. Now, if you can have that embarrassment of riches in the forward line, and you take a look at the fact that Chelsea played almost 70 games last year, you almost need that. You need that many players when you're playing that many games.
It is, of course, about depth, and there's so many competitions that Chelsea will be in next season, and they are obviously gunning for titles all over the place, Europe and at home as well. Have you seen enough of a change in Mourinho's way he's playing, he's getting Chelsea to play, that they can once again get back up with the Manchester side?
You know, once again, at pre-season, it's really hard to judge, but at the same time, I think the thing that I'm seeing more from Mourinho with this Chelsea side is that what we hadn't seen at Real Madrid is that it was all counterattack Real Madrid. It was hitting teams on the break. It was getting the ball just to Ronaldo. It was having, you know, Ozil kind of lead the break. It was, can Modric fit into this kind of style of play that Mourinho wanted to play? I think he's come here, he's seen the pieces that he has, and he's kind of let them play. He's let them carry on. And I think one thing that I saw from Chelsea yesterday alone was that they were able to work the ball through the midfield. They were able to play the way that they wanted to play. It wasn't just get it up in as many passes as possible. And that's something that they're capable of doing. But they're also capable of just attacking through all three lines, starting in the defense, playing it through the midfield, and getting it up top. And that's something that we didn't see from Mourinho at Real Madrid. I think that he has better pieces now than he had at his last tenure at Chelsea. And the one thing that really bothered me about Mourinho at Chelsea the first go-around was that they were good at playing quickly and getting the lead. But when they fell behind, I didn't feel like they had a plan B, or they had the ability to come back from behind. With the players they have now, with the skill they have in midfield, I feel that they can now go down a goal, maybe go down two goals, and still not just revert to long ball or counterattack, and still play with the same kind of ideas, creativity, and fluidity, and come back in games and find a way to get a result. And I think that that's going to be a big difference in this second stint for Mourinho at Chelsea.
What about their opponents from the other day, AC Milan? Of course, it's pre-season, as you say. We shouldn't be looking at the results too much. It's the Italian side struggling in this ICC tournament, that's for sure. But Milan especially, Allegri seeing that he is seeing development in the fitness and in the gelling of this side. Upon reflection, upon looking back against Chelsea, the Italian press is reporting it as an unlucky 2-0 win. The English press are saying that Chelsea were all over AC Milan. How did you see this game, Mark?
I thought that Milan looked really impressive in the first 25 minutes, and I think it's because Chelsea was putting high pressure on them, and they were breaking through it without a sweat. I think then once Chelsea's two holding midfielders at the time, Essien and Van Winkle, started to overtake the game and started to win those tackles in midfield, and I kind of felt that that was it for AC Milan. After that, it was all Chelsea who took over, and I think that Chelsea dominated. I also thought that Milan did do a good job, though, when they were able to play through those lines and getting the ball up top, but I thought that their top three looked very disjointed. We talk about Chelsea's inner fluid, changing of positions, and their ability to attack, and you just didn't see that from Milan. I mean, you take a look at there was one stretch in the 80th minute where they finally did get the ball forward, and there was something like seven crosses in a row into the box. Each one was overhit. It went to the wing player. hit it back across, went to the other wing player, hit it back across, nobody able to get on the end of it in the middle. And they did a good job to get the ball out wide and send it in, but they didn't have players in the middle who were able to finish. Now, at that time, Shaari and, more importantly, Balotelli were on the bench with all the substitutions that had been made, but there's going to be need to be more than just getting that ball out wide, and there's going to need to be a lot more interplay between that front three if they're going to be able to combine when they don't get the ball out wide and be able to go through the middle and run at players as well, which is something I didn't see. I thought they did a good job of keeping Chelsea at bay. I mean, obviously, both goals, the first goal, Emmanuel Singh got way too tucked in, way too far ball watching. Needs to slide into the center just a little bit to watch that, but he was also way too far away from De Bruyne when he scored that goal. He needs to be able to be in a position where he can step out to him once that ball slides over. And the second goal was just a brilliant finish kind of to kill off the game. So AC Milan was in it the whole time, but I just had the feeling the way they were attacking that they were never going to find that goal, that they were never going to get back into the game. And that's something that it seemed like it took them a while into mid-season last year before they found that goal-scoring form. And obviously, until Balotelli arrived, that it was really there when he was able to take some of the load off Al Shaari. So that's something that they're going to have to find. But once again, you know, if they're going to have these problems, have them now in the ICC instead of when the Serie A starts.
3 weeks until that Serie A season begins. In the ICC, Mark, we've got some big games left, of course. Real Madrid taking on Chelsea. The LA Galaxy meeting Milan in the third place playoff. Everton, Valencia and Juve Inter. In the final, Real Madrid against Chelsea, who are you going to go for? There'll be a little bit of bite for this, surely, with Mourinho taking on his old club.
Yeah, I think that Chelsea might actually take this one. I think that Mourinho is one of those people who holds a vendetta, and I know it's preseason, it's all about fitness, but I also kind of see Mourinho taking this one like a real final and doing all the preparation and staying up all night and being very detail-oriented about it. I also think that the pieces at Real Madrid have been changing a bit more. Chelsea, I think Chelsea have a bit more stability going into this game, and so I kind of see Chelsea taking this one, although Real Madrid have been impressive so far.
It is an entertaining tournament, I will give the ICC, but I, like you, Mark, I'm not taking any of these results for granted, and especially with Milan losing to Chelsea, my red and black heart is hoping that this will not be the AC Milan that we see when the Serie A season begins. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I'm afraid, mate, I wanted to get into all the Dempsey stuff with you as well, but we will move on to that, and we will definitely talk about that with you next time we get you on the show, which I hope will be very soon indeed. But as always, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on today, mate. Love the way you break down the games for us, and always enjoy a good chat with you, man.
Thanks so much. It's always a blast talking with you guys.
And we will catch up very soon indeed. But for now, that is Mark Serber of Fox Soccer and Fox Sports International joining us here on World Football Daily, writer for football.com as well, talking all things the ICC Trophy.